Our speaker today is Dr. William Pierce, the chairman of the National Alliance, which is the world's foremost organization working for the long-term interest of white Americans and for people of European ancestry wherever they may live.
Hello. Terrorism and terrorist have been the most used words on television and in the other controlled news media recently. We've heard over and over about Al-Qaeda terrorism and Iraqi terrorism and Palestinian terrorism, especially about Palestinian terrorism during the past week, with the Bush government repeatedly demanding that Yasser Arafat arrest every Palestinian designated as a terrorist on a list given to him by Israel. But we haven't heard anything about Israeli terrorism or about U.S. terrorism, not even a word. The controlled news media in America would have us believe that the governments of Israel and the United States don't engage in terrorism. So how do we decide what is terrorism and what isn't? Is terrorism what individuals or small groups do when they're angry at a government, but what governments do is legitimate warfare or self-defense or something else other than terrorism? No, that can't be, because we were told that the government of Afghanistan that we just destroyed was a terrorist government, and so is the government of Iraq, which the media want us to destroy next. So maybe it's the type of weapon that's used that determines whether an action is terrorism or not. If one uses a car bomb or a human bomb, as the Palestinians often do, it's terrorism. If one uses a helicopter gunship, as the Israelis often use to assassinate Palestinian leaders, or an airplane, like we use to bomb Afghanistan, it's not terrorism. No, that can't be right, because Osama bin Laden used airplanes in his attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, and we were assured that was terrorism. So why is Mr. Bush's aerial bombing of Kabul or Kandahar not terrorism, while Osama bin Laden's aerial bombing of New York and Washington was? Why wasn't the Clinton government's aerial bombing of Belgrade 2 years ago called terrorism by the media? Perhaps what distinguishes legitimate warfare from terrorism is motivation. In warfare, one attempts to destroy the enemy's military forces and to capture territory from the enemy. In terrorism, one attempts to demoralize or terrify the enemy. But then, what should we call the carpet bombing of German cities by the United States during the Second World War? The motive there was to kill as many German civilians as possible and demoralize the German public. That also was the motive behind Britain's program to drop millions of anthrax bombs on Germany during the war. Fortunately, the Second World War ended before Britain could use the anthrax bombs it had prepared. But Churchill had fully intended to use them, and to use them when it already was apparent that Germany was losing the war. Why is Winston Churchill regarded by all of the controlled media as a hero, as a great and good man, while whoever is mailing anthrax-infected letters to politicians and media bosses in the United States today is regarded as a terrorist and is described as evil and cowardly? Well, by now, the reason why an act of terror is sometimes called terrorism and sometimes isn't should be obvious. If someone we don't like does it to us, it's terrorism. If we do it to someone else, it isn't. More to the point, if someone the media bosses don't like strikes at Jews, Israelis for example, or at someone friendly to the Jews, the U.S. government for example, then it's terrorism. If Jews, Israelis for example, strike at Palestinians, or if the U.S. government strikes at anyone, Afghans or Iraqis for example, on behalf of the Jews, then it isn't terrorism. A somewhat trickier case was the attempt by the Israelis in 1967 to sink the U.S. Navy ship, the Liberty, so that it could be blamed on the Egyptians, generating U.S. hostility against Egypt. Although the attempt failed, the Israelis did kill 35 Americans in their terror attack on the Liberty. The controlled media, of course, not only didn't call it terrorism, but did their best to hush it up by giving it minimal news coverage. So the rule is, if it's an attack by Jews or on behalf of Jews, it's not terrorism. If it's an attack against Jews or against Jewish interests, it is terrorism. That's why Ariel Sharon isn't a terrorist and Osama bin Laden is. Understand? In this regard, things are better for the U.S. government today than they were 30 years ago during the Vietnam War. The media bosses didn't consider the Viet Cong or the North Vietnamese to be enemies, and so they were pretty quick to jump on the government when it prosecuted the war too vigorously. More than anything else, it was the media slant on the war in Vietnam which led the U.S. government to tie the hands of the U.S. military and prevent a U.S. victory. The politicians were scared to death of being called baby killers or warmongers by the Jewish media if they urged more aggressive action against the communists in Vietnam. Today, no U.S. politician would even dream of telling the U.S. military to take it easy on Israel's enemies in the Middle East. He immediately would be denounced by the media as soft on terrorism. So today, terrorism and terrorist are for all practical purposes media labels used as propaganda, much in the same way the media use the labels racism and racist. If I denounce whites who have sexual relations with non-whites, if I say that miscegenation is a terrible thing because it will destroy our race if we permit it to continue, I am denounced by the Jewish media as a racist. The same Jewish media, however, would never think of referring to a Jewish leader who expresses concern about the high rate of intermarriage between Jews and Gentiles as a racist. In fact, Jewish media such as the New York Times regularly carry advertisements for Jewish groups urging Jews not to intermarry with Gentiles, urging them to marry only other Jews. I'll give you another example of the crooked and deceptive way in which the controlled media in America use labels. I mentioned in my broadcast a few weeks ago, actually it was my broadcast of October 27th, that the government's Centers for Disease Control had published a report on bioterrorism written by a Jewess, Jessica Stern, in which she referred to me as a terrorist. My primary concern in that broadcast was the increasingly cozy relationship between Jewish pressure groups and U.S. government agencies, especially law enforcement agencies. The total subservience of the politicians to the controlled mass media has allowed Jewish groups to present themselves to government agencies as experts on just about everything, most recently as experts on terrorism. Many of these groups, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith and the Southern Poverty Law Center come immediately to mind, have been given a quasi-official status by the media and by the government. They tell the government who is a terrorist and who isn't, and the government accepts their word. For the record, I have never been charged with any terrorist act, nor have I ever advocated terrorism. And yet, Jessica Stern, who falsely labeled me a terrorist in an official government publication, has now been elevated to the status of Jewish guru by Time magazine. She is hailed as an expert on terrorism in Time's December 17th issue. And really, her only qualification for this status is her Jewishness. You can be sure that any government agency to whom she offers her expert advice will accept it as unquestioningly as do the mass media. Meanwhile, the real terrorists get a free ride, both abroad and at home. Jessica Stern is not the only lying Jewish propagandist who has labeled me a terrorist simply because I am opposed to Jewish media control and is accepted without question by the U.S. government as an expert. The two Jewish pressure groups I just mentioned, the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center, regularly label me as dangerous and imply that I am up to my neck in criminal activity and violence, when the truth is that I am completely nonviolent and never have been involved in any criminal activity at all. But guess who is heavily involved in criminal activity and in actual terrorism, but is never labeled terrorist? How about the Jewish Anti-Defamation League? How about the Jewish Defense League? I'll bet you've never seen a media reference to either of these criminal Jewish organizations as dangerous or criminal or terrorist. The Anti-Defamation League is routinely referred to by the controlled media as a public service organization or as a human rights organization, and is routinely quoted as an expert source on matters such as hate crime and terrorism. The Anti-Defamation League has been snuggling up to government agencies, especially law enforcement agencies, for decades, despite its association with notorious felons and its own record of criminal activity, and despite its role as an unregistered agent of a foreign power, namely Israel. With the Jewish media on its side, the Anti-Defamation League has managed to wriggle out of the criminal charges it has faced and always gets good press. Another Jewish group, the Jewish Defense League, may have run out of luck in that regard recently. The Jewish Defense League, like the Jewish Anti-Defamation League, has always had criminal associations and has faced numerous criminal charges, but always has managed to beat the rap with the help of its cheering section in the media and the government's reluctance to prosecute a Jewish group. As long ago as 1985, the Jewish Defense League had a string of 37 terrorist acts to its record and was identified by the FBI as the, quote, second most active terrorist group in the United States, beating out both the Teamsters Union and the Mafia. Of course, you weren't likely to see the FBI's report on the Jewish Defense League in the controlled media. The FBI's specific concern with the Jewish Defense League in 1985 was based on the bombing of the California offices of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee in that year. The regional director of the Arab group, Alex O'Day, was killed in the bombing. The Jewish Defense League members, who were the principal suspects in that terrorist bombing, fled to Israel to avoid prosecution, and the Jewish Defense League continued its terrorist activities without government interference and without any labeling by the Jewish media. The chances are that you've never heard anything about the Jewish Defense League's terrorist activity unless you listened very carefully to the news last week. And you've never heard the Jewish media or any of the other Jewish pressure groups who have called me a terrorist say an unkind word about the Jewish Defense League. Well, as I said, last week, the Jewish Defense League's luck finally ran out. The chairman of the group, Irv Rubin, and his number two Jew, Earl Krugel, both were arrested red-handed in Los Angeles by the FBI as they assembled the components for terrorist bombs intended to be set off in a Los Angeles mosque and in the Southern California office of U.S. Congressman Daryl Issa. Jewish groups are very cozy with most congressmen, but the Jewish Defense League took exception to Congressman Issa's Lebanese ancestry and his lack of enthusiasm for the continuing U.S. support of Israel's terrorist activity. Now, if I had been caught preparing bombs to blow up a synagogue in a Jewish congressman's office, you would never hear the end of it. It would be on every news program for weeks. The media would be crowing about it. The Jewish Anti-Defamation League, the Jewish Defense League, and the Southern Poverty Law Center would have people on the talk show circuit for months bragging about how they had labeled me a terrorist and had been proved right. But you certainly will not see that sort of publicity about the very real terrorist activity of the Jewish Defense League or the arrest of its two top leaders on Wednesday of last week as they prepare to blow up a congressman's office and a mosque. None of these Jewish groups will be labeled in a negative way as long as Jews continue to control America's mass media, just as Israel, which carries out more terrorism than all the other countries in the Middle East together, will never be labeled a terrorist state by the controlled media. Israeli assassination teams that murder Palestinians never will be labeled terrorists by the media. But every time a Palestinian strikes back at his Israeli oppressors, he is described by the media here as a terrorist. When George Bush and the other politicians here preach about the need to fight terrorism in the Middle East, they are talking about Palestinian terrorism, about Al-Qaeda terrorism, about Iraqi terrorism, about Muslim terrorism, but never about Israeli terrorism or Jewish terrorism. All of this has important consequences for all of us. When the tiny Jewish minority in America has the power, through its stranglehold on the mass media of news and entertainment, to label in a negative way any individuals or groups or even countries the Jews don't like, and the great majority of the American people, the lemmings, who absorb all of their ideas and attitudes and opinions from television, accept these labels unquestioningly, it is bad for all of us. It's not just that by labeling me a terrorist, the Jewish media lead many foolish and unthinking people who believe whatever they see on television to actually think that I am a dangerous terrorist and accordingly shun me. And believe me, that sort of false labeling can be quite a personal burden and make life much more difficult than it otherwise would be. It's not just that by labeling Jewish criminal organizations like the Jewish Anti-Defamation League and the Jewish Defense League as public service organizations, the media shield the criminal activity of these groups and make law enforcement agencies reluctant to prosecute them. If the Jewish Anti-Defamation League had been adequately prosecuted for its massive thefts of confidential police files a few years ago, its leaders could have been put in prison and the organization itself could have been put out of business before it had a chance to persuade Bill Clinton last year to grant a pardon to billionaire Jewish gangster Mark Rich. If the Jewish Defense League had been adequately prosecuted after its first terrorist bombing more than 20 years ago, instead of being permitted to continue its campaign of terrorist activity with more bombings and arson, the lives of more than one innocent victim could have been saved. But the consequences of false labeling by the Jewish media go far beyond these things. It is the false use by the controlled media of the label terrorist in the Middle East that underlies the continuing U.S. support for Israeli terrorism and is responsible for the September 11th attacks on the United States and for the present war against Afghanistan. It is the deceptive use by the Jewish media of labels such as racist and neo-Nazi and hater and bigot that is largely responsible for the disastrous racial policies of the government that have been wrecking our society for the past four decades. First, the Jewish media bosses saturated the public with these labels, giving them intensely negative connotations. The Jews used these labels in both the news and the entertainment media until they had the general public, that is, the lemmings, conditioned like Pavlov's dogs. They had the public reacting in horror and revulsion to the label racist, for example, regardless of the circumstances. If an authority figure on his TV screen labels someone a racist, the average American viewer doesn't stop to ask questions. The conditioned response that the media already have implanted in him kicks in, and he reacts negatively. He doesn't stop to think any more than Pavlov's dogs stopped to think when they heard the dinner bell. He doesn't ask himself, what did this person who has been labeled a racist really do? Is he really a bad or an unreasonable person? Why do the TV people want me to hate him? What is racism anyway? Is it really a bad or unreasonable thing? The average viewer doesn't ask himself these questions, and he doesn't even think. He simply responds in the way he has been conditioned by years of TV brainwashing to respond. And the average person knows that if he says anything negative about diversity or multiculturalism or uncontrolled immigration, he will be labeled a racist with all the bad connotations that deliberately have been attached to that label by the media. And so he doesn't say anything against these government policies that are destroying America. And the destruction goes on. I'll say this again, because it's so important. The media bosses, by having the power to create labels and to implant conditioned responses to these labels in the minds of most members of the public, are able to control the attitudes of the public to ideas, to individuals, to countries, to government policies, and to everything else. And the media bosses use this power for their advantage and for our destruction. It is the Jewish media bosses who more than anyone else are responsible for the government's destructive racial policies, for the government's Israel First policy in the Middle East, for the fact that the Jewish Anti-Defamation League is able to engage in criminal activity without being prosecuted, for the fact that for more than 20 years, the government permitted the Jewish Defense League to commit dozens of terrorist acts, including bombings, arson, and murder, and to get away with it until last week. And I get labeled a terrorist. For better or for worse, we have a mass democracy in the United States. The politicians who make our government's policies are elected to office by voters whose attitudes and opinions are formed primarily by the mass media, by television and Hollywood movies and newspapers and news magazines, which are almost entirely in the hands of Jews. With the power of the mass media at their disposal, it's not really difficult for them to control the way the public thinks about important issues, and therefore to control government policy. They've made a science out of controlling public opinion. They have become masters at it, and one of the most important tools they use is labels that they themselves have created and tailored to suit their needs. That's why our immigration situation is out of control. That's why America's cities and schools are becoming darker and darker. That's why you see so many young white women with black mates. That's why we ignored Israel's terrorist attack on the USS Liberty in 1967. That's why George Bush dances to whatever tune is played by Ariel Sharon, the butcher of Beirut. That's why more than 3,000 Americans were killed on September 11th. That's why we're waging an unnecessary war in the Middle East now. That's why groups like the Jewish Anti-Defamation League and the Jewish Defense League are permitted to ignore our laws most of the time. It's about time that we did something to take the power of false labeling away from the Jewish media bosses. It's about time for us to speak out and to begin having an effect on American public opinion ourselves. Thanks for being with me again today.
You have been listening to a presentation of American Dissident Voices. The speaker was Dr. William Pierce, chairman of the National Alliance.
The program was sponsored as a public service by National Vanguard Books, America's foremost supplier of patriotic books and tapes. For $2, we'll send you our newest 72-page illustrated catalog with descriptions and ordering information for more than 600 books and tapes of interest to patriots. Many of the items in the National Vanguard Books catalog are available nowhere else. Our mailing address is National Vanguard Books, Post Office Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.